It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes, Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Beck.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Also, of course, you can listen on your mobile app, and you can send in your questions via Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. John Schmelk, Lance Meadow, Big Blue Kickoff Live. It's all presented by Andrew Mark. Lance, good morning. How are you?
Doing very well, John. How's everything on your end?
Everything's very well, and another big game for the football Giants. They've put themselves in another difficult position, very similar to things we've seen really in the past three seasons going back to 2009. They have two games left on their schedule. If they want to make the playoffs, they better win both.
Yeah, I mean, certainly everything is sitting right in front of them for the taking, and the Giants just have to be more consistent. They're going up against a Ravens team that we talked about throughout the course of the week, just as hungry as the Giants. They've lost three in a row. They've been decimated by injuries. Joe Flacco has been up and down the last couple of weeks, but this is definitely a contest on paper in which, to me, the Giants match up very well. I think that they can attack this Ravens secondary that has not been very consistent in stopping the pass. Teams have been able to run on the Ravens, so that should also set up nicely for the Giants. But what team is going to show up? Is it going to be the aggressive team that made a statement against the Saints and made a statement against the Packers? Or is it going to be a team that struggles to jump right out of the gate and doesn't catch its stride until maybe the second half? You can't afford to play catch-up the next 2 weeks. They got to put their foot down, and they got to put it down hard.
Hey, look, this is about execution, Lance. The team simply has to play better football. And it goes from the quarterback on offense to the wide receivers to the offensive line, which is banged up. We'll talk about the injuries in a second. And then to the defense. The guys in the defensive line have to do their job. They have to stop the run. They have to get after the quarterback. They got to prevent big plays in the secondary. The linebackers have to be disciplined in the middle of the field against guys like Dennis Pitta and Anquan Boldin. Guys have to come out, play their A game, be focused, be disciplined, be intense, bring a lot of energy, and only then will you go into a team's building where they play extremely well and win. The Ravens are a difficult team to beat at M&T Bank Stadium. They're extremely good there. Have not lost three straight games at home in five seasons. There's a reason for that. And look, the numbers on defense are not the same. They're 26th in the league, 380 yards a game, whatever it is. They have a lot of injuries. They're banged up. Been mixing and matching in the secondary at cornerback and at linebacker, for that matter.
A lot of linebackers they've gone through.
That being said, they still force a lot of turnovers. They're plus 10 on the season. They still get after the quarterback, especially on third downs. They're the second best red zone defense in the league. And while they might have injuries and their talent level might not be as high as it has been in years past, they're still extremely well coached. And if you make mistakes, like the mistakes the Giants and Eli Manning made against the Falcons, the Ravens will make you pay. And you're not going to win.
And they have a guy named Ed Reed, so the experience factor plays another role into why they've been able to outlast some of these struggles that they've been having to deal with the last couple of weeks. And Ray Lewis may return. He may not return, but one way or another, he's a vocal leader. He's always been present on the sidelines the last couple of weeks. I know we get a lot of calls throughout the last couple of weeks that the Giants don't have that vocal leader, and I don't necessarily buy that because I think Antro Roll has provided that presence. He's called out players. He's tried to serve as a source of motivation, and you don't need to have the C on your jersey to serve that role. But at the end of the day, you know, we could sit here and talk about that the Giants need the greatest pep talk in the history of mankind Saturday night. It all depends on how well they execute come Sunday. If they don't have Ahmad Bradshaw, that means David Wilson is going to have to carry the load. He's going to have to be aware of the blitzes that he may need to pick up. Hakeem Nicks, Victor Cruz, they're going to have to win their battles at the line of scrimmage and draw separation. Guys are going to have to go out and make plays. They are not going to be able to get down early and let what Atlanta did, which is the Falcons basically ran away with that contest because they were more physical at the line of scrimmage and they took advantage of every Giant mistake. You can't afford to have those things take place over the next 2 weeks.
I cannot underestimate the importance taking a lead is in this game. The Giants' defense is a different defense when they have a lead. They can pin their ears back and rush the passer. They don't have to necessarily worry about stopping the run, which really, to me, has been their Achilles heel that's forced so many other mistakes on the defensive side of the ball. So the offense has to get out of the gates early. You got to establish the run against the Ravens' rush defense that has been inconsistent at best this year. And then when you have the lead, you can be balanced on offense, and your defense can do what it does best, rush the passer, jump some routes, take some chances, and force turnovers. When you get behind 10, 14 points, not only does your offense become one-dimensional, your defense has to deal with opposing offenses that can rush the ball, pound it on you, something the Giants have not been able to stop. You can take shots down the field on second and short because you have that cushion, you have that lead, you can take some chances. And that's when the Giants' defense, in my opinion, really seems to struggle. Come out early here, Lance. This Giants team has come out of the gate slow in most games this year. You gotta get a lead against this Ravens team. It would make all the difference. The Ravens want to run the football with Ray Rice. They don't want to air it out 40, 50 times in a game. If you take a lead, you make them change their game plan, and then all of a sudden everything starts going your way.
You look at the last couple of contests, it is hard to find an example, John, in which the Giants had a tremendous first quarter, where you walked away and said, wow, they really established themselves early to set the tone for the rest of the game.
They took a lead against the Saints, but the Saints did score the first touchdown of the game.
And there were turnovers early in that contest by Eli Manning. I mean, maybe the Packer game is probably the one that you could go back to, but we're talking about a game that was 4 weeks ago. Yep. A lot has transpired over the last couple of weeks since that contest, and you mentioned that it's important for the Giants to take an early lead because you're right. If the Ravens get in a position where they are comfortable, Ray Rice is going to get about 30 touches, whether it be 5 catches and 25 carries or reverse the order. It doesn't matter. They are going to use him as the workhorse. They do not want to put this game in the hands of Joe Flacco. The numbers prove, just like every other top quarterback in this league, Flacco throws 40 to 45 times, the interceptions go up, and the losses continue. Flacco throws between 15 and 20 times, the wins go up, and the accuracy goes up. They want him to have about 17 throws in this game.
17 is a little low, but I think they like to keep him under 25, under 27, somewhere in that range. Get about 25 passes, 30 to 35 rushes, 35 to 40 rushes. I'm not sure if Bernard Pierce is going to be back this week to compliment Ray Rice. He had a concussion last week as well. So those are things you kind of have to take a look at.
Well, the reason why I'm fairly confident that at least that's the game plan, whether or not they're able to execute it, is this was the second week now that Jim Caldwell has been in charge of the offense. It's hard to put much stock in the Ravens' performance last week because Caldwell took over midweek when Cam Cameron was fired.
Oh, well, they also went down that game really early and had to become a one-dimensional team.
Now, though, he's had a full week to implement his game plan, see to make tweaks and look for ways to maybe put Ray Rice in a position to succeed. That's why I think they're going to go very heavy with Rice this week.
201-939-4513, and why not against the Giants defense that has not been able to stop the run for the better part of this season. 201-939-4513. We'll get to your calls in just 1 second. Literally, one last point, folks, before we start taking your calls. We'll take them the rest of the show. I'm taking a look at the Giants' whole schedule here, Lance. I can't find more than one game where they came out of the gates with the lead and playing well.
Carolina.
Down against Tampa. Carolina's the one game I saw. Philly, they did not play well early. Cleveland, they were down to the Browns early. The Niners, they had a slim lead early, but that game didn't break open until the second half. So if you want to throw the Niners in there, maybe I'll buy it. Certainly the Redskin game. Well, I guess that Cowboy game that they won 29-24, they came out well early.
But more so on the defense than on the offense.
That is very accurate. So you could take those two games and the Packers games, and that'll pretty much give it to you there. Yeah. And again, the Saints were special teams. It wasn't offense. So you're looking at one game, maybe two offensively, where the offense came out strong early. You just haven't seen it this year.
And that's another example of how inconsistent this team has been. Yeah. You know, we look for examples throughout the course of the season where they've had one solid performance for all four quarters, and they didn't take another week or two to get back to that level, but they carried it over to the following contest, and that just
build
for some reason has not been evident yet. Tom Coughlin's motto.
Build that bridge.
And look, you even give the hand gestures to compliment that.
That doesn't really work on the radio.
I know, unfortunately,
though,
the listeners can't tell, but I at least was entertained by that.
All right. That's good. 201-939-4513. Let's go to our phones. They've been holding patiently. Thank you for calling, everybody. Let's start with John down in North Carolina. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. Excited about this weekend. And I want to start this call off by saying, first of all, I want to congratulate and give the Giants the greatest recognition. So what? 34-0 last week. We still a Super Bowl champions. It's bound to happen to some great team. I mean, we just got off a game of what we scored, 52 points against Houston.
Against New Orleans.
And, I mean, maybe we was out of gas. Maybe we was playing on fumes. Okay, new Sunday. Any given Sunday, I believe in. This week, we have to go out and show people why we are the NFL Super Bowl champions. And especially against a team like Baltimore. Baltimore is not a pushover team by any means. And they suspect that Ray Lewis may play this weekend. I'm a big Ray Lewis fan, but I'm a bigger Giants fan. All I say is we have some issues just like previous seasons where we have some injuries that are key, where key games where people can't be in the game and we can't perform to our 100% best, 110% best. Who we had out on defense this weekend? Who we got out on injury reserve this weekend? Those are going to be the keys looking at this game Sunday, and I can't wait to get my newspaper Sunday morning to look at my injury reserve list to be able to predict. I'm already telling everybody we're going to beat Baltimore, and I believe that in my heart of hearts. But, I mean, I just, you know, congratulations to Hakeem Nick, North Carolina UNC. Let's go, Hakeem. And to Victor Cruz and to, you know, I'm almost ashamed to say this, but the young man that's running behind Amari Bradshaw, what's that gentleman's name?
David Wilson.
Wilson, listen, that kid going to do big things. I mean, I was so mad when Brandon Jacobs left, but upon reading other things, he had other things going on in his life and everything, so I don't think his focus was on the backfield of our football team. That being said, so what, so long, good luck. But I just believe that going into the playoffs, we need this game, we need these next two games. I believe we're going to come out and show the NFL and the world why the New York Giants are the Super Bowl champions.
Well, John, you know what? They better, because there's only two games left here, and the Giants better win them if you want to make the playoffs. And, John, thank you very much for the call. Good stuff. Well, one other thing the Ravens are going to do this week, Lance, they're going to punch the Giants in the mouth. They are a physical team on defense. They're going to come out. They're going to play tough. They're going to be gritty. They're going to whack the Giants around. The Giants are going to have to respond to that and deal with their physicality.
And that's a scary component given that the Giants are banked up on the offensive line, John, because they've got a lot of big physical bodies in their front seven, the Ravens I'm talking about, and Chris Snead, David Boss, both nursing injuries. Not saying they're not going to play, but it could very well be a game of musical chairs on the O-line, and that's the last thing the Giants need right now.
Neither has practiced yet this week. David Boss said yesterday he's going to play. No word really on Snead quite yet this year, but the depth isn't there right now. That's the thing. You have Jimmy Cordell there, who Kevin Gilbride basically said he went out there, tried his best last week. And that's pretty much what he said.
Wasn't necessarily a big pat on the back.
So you can read into that however you want to read into it, but there isn't a ton of depth there. You know, they used to have David Deal that could back up the tackle in the guard spot. Now with him starting a guard because of that because of that terrible injury to Sean Locklear, you're in a little trouble now. You don't have that depth behind these guys where you can survive an injury and do well. And you're dealing with a Raven defensive line where they haven't been that productive this year, but they certainly are big-bodied, physical guys that will beat you up.
Yeah, Cody, 6'4", 341. This is their front three. Nada, 6'4", 340. And then McPhee, 6'3", 280.
And then you have subgroup. And then you have Arthur Jones, who actually plays almost as many minutes as a starter, and he comes in at 6'3", 315. So there you go.
That's a big, physical specimen.
Big fellas.
Yes. And you mentioned the lack of the depth. Listen, Locklear was the security blanket, John. Once he went down, you didn't have that swing guy that you can move from the left and the right. I mean, you have Brewer who you can turn to, but you're talking about players who don't nearly have as much experience as a Locklear did, who was also comfortable on both sides of the football and can play to the different matchups that the Ravens would turn to. It's a tough predicament for the Giants to be in, especially given the depth that the Ravens have, more so on their front three group than in their back four, because the linebackers have been decimated by injuries, but they keep turning to a new linebacker every week. It's a revolving door, essentially. They just lost McClain, who was hurt last week. Ray Lewis has been banged up. You know, Suggs is playing with one arm and one leg. What other part of the body can he hurt at this point?
Ellerbe missed the game last week, one of their linebackers as well. They hope he's going to make his return this week. McClellan's been forced to play inside rather than outside, his natural position. You've seen Kruger there. You have Courtney Upshaw, their first-round pick, who hasn't exactly been, I'm sure, as productive as it would have liked this year.
And
so,
Ion Bandejo has been the only healthy guy pretty much for the most part of the season.
And he's known as a special teams guy, not necessarily a defensive player. 201-939-4513. Certainly are. Hugo in New Jersey. What's up, Hugo?
Hey, good morning, guys. And John, I agree with you 100%. This Ravens defense, they're, you know, ravaged by injuries, but they're going to come out and they're going to play hard. And, you know, when I look at the rankings, I mean, the Giants defense and the Ravens defense are pretty much ranked in the same place. And I think the Giants defense, we haven't had catastrophic injuries. That is, I think, what's most frustrating about this team. You know, on the offense, I understand it, right? I mean, you know, Hakeem Nicks injured, we're down to running backs off the street, offensive line injuries. But, you know, Gilbride, he takes a lot of heat, right? But Gilbride and Eli deliver a top 10 offense every year.
Top five most of the time, to be honest
with you. Top five. We have a bottom quartile defense every year. And before the season started, Perry Fuel was fairly confident that given the personnel and talent that he'd have a top 10 defense. Now, we haven't had catastrophic injuries. So what's the issue? It either points to scheme or effort. But in my opinion, either one is an indictment of the coaching. If you're not giving effort, you know, it's up to the coaches to make sure you give effort. And not stopping the run is catastrophic. Now, you were talking about the size of the Ravens' defensive line. You know, we don't have small guys either on our defensive line. We're not, for example, I think Atlanta, for example, is a light defensive line that you could potentially run. Going into the season, I didn't think the Giants' defensive line, you know, would have this kind of trouble. I think that, you know, I thought it's just the opposite. They'd be able to, you know, manage and dominate offensive lines.
You know, Hugo, one thing real quick. You mentioned two things. It's either game planning or it's effort. Well, I'm going to throw out a third thing, and maybe this is something Giant fans have to really take a long look at. Maybe the talent level that everyone thought the Giants had on the defensive side of the ball isn't quite what everybody thought it was. If you're going to have a, like you said, a bottom third, bottom quarter defense for three straight years under two different defensive coordinators, mind you, maybe you have to start looking at the talent, and maybe you have to start looking at personnel.
Yeah, but John, the problem is we saw these guys do it, right, for a six-game stretch last year.
But how about the other 14?
I understand. So something changed, and, you know, could the talent have deteriorated? We've seen it this year in certain games, right?
Yeah.
Against, like you mentioned, against Carolina, against San Francisco, against the Packers. You know, pretty potent offenses, and the defense has stepped up. I'm really befuddled by this. And, you know, all year long, all we hear from Perry Fields, oh, the quarterbacks are getting rid of the ball quicker. Well, if offenses are scheming against you, isn't it your job to counter-scheme?
Correct.
Because if you're just going to sit there and sort of say, you know, I rely on Jerry Reese to give me the best pass rushers in the world, and they just got to beat whatever scheme's out there, then why do we need a defensive coordinator? I could coach that, right?
That's fair.
Yeah.
It's fair. All right, Hugo, thanks for the call, buddy.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. I think Hugo made some great points. And I think it comes down to, look, last year the Giants had a lot of issues the first 14 games, like he mentioned. They were terrible. The last six games, they turned around. They were great. A lot of that had to do with Osimhen Yor getting back from injury, and the pass rush really, you know, turning the guys loose, getting after the quarterback. The Giants' pass rush this year has been anemic.
And they've all been on the field.
And they've
You can't
all
point to games where they've missed time.
There. Justin Tuck is really missing practice this week for the first time all year with that burner, with that shoulder, neck,
I mean, JPP has had some back issues, but it hasn't really held him back for the most part.
I mean, I'll give a little preview. I did a nice five-minute sit-down with JPP that's going to air in our pregame show on the radio on Sunday, and we had a long talk about the defensive line production in general and his production specifically. And he really said this year, more than any other, it's really been a learning experience for him in how teams are dealing with him now that he's considered that top-tier NFL pass rusher. And, you know, after he kind of listed things that guys are doing to stop him, which some people will call excuses, he said, but you can't make any excuses. You have to go out there. You have to beat that. You have to get better. You have to improve to the point where guys can't scheme to stop you. You have to get your sacks anyway, like the Jared Allens of the world does, like the DeMarcus Wares of the world do. You got to do that. If you want to be a top player, you have to be able to beat the chips. You have to be able to beat the double teams. You have to be able to beat the tight end, staying in there and helping out. So far this year, the Giants' defensive linemen have not been able to do that.
And that's also why what JPP just laid out to you, John, I'm skeptical of listening to the arguments each and every day. Well, the Giants have been in this situation before, backs against the wall. Things always click and fall right into place
I'm
at this time of the season. I'm tired of hearing it, too. And the reason I'm tired of hearing it let's just compare it to last season. Victor Cruz was like JPP at one point. He was the new kid on the block. There wasn't a lot of film. Teams weren't double-teaming him. Now you go a year later, you have to pay attention to Victor Cruz. He gets that attention, so he's not getting the breakaway holes that he had last season. There needs to be a level of adjustment. Same thing with some of the pass rushers. Maybe everybody was hurt last season, so that's why they weren't fearing the Giants' pass rushers. They weren't going so hard to get chip blocks and double-team defensive ends. This year, they're taking it to the whole other level to limit the Giants from getting that level of production. That needs to be taken into consideration. That's not going to happen all of a sudden overnight this year.
And here's the bigger problem. I heard in the locker room last week guys saying, we have our backs against the wall to win the division. We have to win this game. Our backs are against the wall. If I hear backs are against the wall one more time, I'm honestly going to lose it. So when does it actually count your backs being against the wall? Is it when you can't win the division? When you can't make the wild card? When you're a game back in the wild card? When are your backs officially against the wall so these guys in there can decide? And you know, that's what really disturbs me. When you say, oh, well, our back's against the wall, now we'll play our best. That's implying as a player that you, not just subconsciously, consciously, are not going out there and going all out because you don't think your quote-unquote back is against the wall. Now, maybe they're not expressing themselves properly, and that's not what they mean. I'm sure that's the case. But the bottom line is, it shouldn't take the most dire of circumstances to get you to go out and play your best football. Why do you put yourself in these situations? Look, Hugo said it. You saw it this year against the Packers in spurts. You saw it against the Saints. You saw it against the 49ers. Three of the toughest games on the schedule, Lance. When we went before the year and we looked at the schedule, we said, oh, what games are they going to win? We had the Saints, Packers, and Niners games as losses, not wins. If you would have told me before the season the Giants win those three games, I would have told you they win 11 or 12 games this year. They're barely holding on to 500.
And this was a team that was 6-2 a couple of weeks ago.
The inconsistency is just baffling, and if you're a Giants fan, it's got to make you angry because you know what the team's capable of, but they just don't do it.
I mean, that's been the biggest question surrounding this team, and also last season too. And I know we talk about a lot of storylines from year to year, but you threw it out. You know, the first 14 games of the year, the pass rush was up and down. The team was up and down. This was a 7-7 team, and all of a sudden, they get the Jets on Christmas Eve. They get the Cowboys. They play consistently for that two-game stretch and carry it into the playoffs. But don't overlook the fact that this was a very up-and-down team last year, and now they're back to their old ways, this Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde script that they follow.
No one knows who's going to show up. I have people asking me all week, John, who's winning this week? You know what I answer? I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know who's showing up. I thought they're going to show up and play a great game against the Falcons. What do I know? I mean, who could have known they would have showed up in Cincinnati and pitched a big zero? I mean, their last two road games were huge no-shows. Well, two out of the last three road games.
The Redskins before the Falcons.
Two out of the last three road games were no-shows. They no-showed against the Bengals, and they no-showed against the Falcons.
Yeah,
they lost to the Steelers.
And that was a home game, but they had an opportunity to win that game.
But they got blown out by Cincinnati, played terribly. And they got blown out by the Falcons and played terribly. Two out of the last three road games. And what do we, besides the whole back against the wall thing, what's the other thing we always heard about this team? Road warrior this, road warrior that. Well, that's down the toilet this year. 3-4. You're not road warriors anymore at 3-4.
And the execution on the road, that's been the most troubling aspect because the Philly game, remember, in a position to win that contest, the Ramsey's Barton offensive penalty, pushes Lawrence Tynes back out of his comfort zone. And then the Redskins game, where they protected the football. They did not have a turnover in that game. Yes, there was a fluky touchdown early by Morgan, but still in position to win that game, and the offense fell apart in the second half.
And again, couldn't stop the run. And that, to me, is what this whole problem on defense gets down to. Talk about the pass rush, that's fine. You don't stop the run, you don't get teams in third and long, you can't take leads, you lose time of possession. If you can't stop the run, it's very hard to win in this league. I know that happened a couple years ago where a team, I forget which team it was ranked something like 28th in the league against the run, they still won the Super Bowl. Maybe it was the Packers when they won, or the Saints when they won. I forget which team. It might have been the Saints. And they won when they had one of the worst rushing defenses in the league. It's hard to do. That's an anomaly. The same way it was an anomaly last year when the Giants won the Super Bowl having the worst rushing offense in the league. Is it possible? Yes, but you have to be so good at so many other things to overcome that weakness. And right now this Giant team hasn't shown me they can.
And they were able to overcome that because they had a good passing game, they made big plays, and they also had a defense that started playing very consistently. That has not been the case this season to cover up some of the other issues. The turnovers are not there. All of a sudden, everybody's looking at the Giants' inefficiency to stop the run.
I'm sorry, folks. You guys are all on hold here, and I got a little annoyed there. I went on a tangent. Hopefully, I at least entertained you while you're on
hold. You gave
a
dissertation.
Let's go to Steve in Staten Island. Steve, good morning. Sorry for making you wait so long, bud.
Hey, good morning. Nah, it's okay, man. Listen, I'm actually gonna piggyback a lot of off what you said. First off, good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing well, great, Steve. How about yourself?
All right. Well, you know, I'll be better hopefully after Sunday. And you know, listen, I called last week, and I had them beating the Falcons. I wasn't concerned. I wasn't worried at all. But you know, I have to kind of go a lot of off what you said, John. You know, listen, I don't know, and nobody knows, what team you're getting. And, you know, I don't want to hear about that they don't have the talent. Because let me tell you something. You and I both know that Eli Manning, whoever has a jersey on that's going to catch a ball, he'll throw it to them. Okay?
That's true.
Steve Smith was a free agent for what? 5 minutes before the Eagles snatched him up? So that told you what they thought about Steve Smith. It's not about the talent. They have the players. They have the talent. It's this team to me, and I've been saying it for a few years now, they are the consummate team where they take two steps forward and one giant step back.
It's fair.
I don't understand. Sometimes it's just to lay an egg like that down in Atlanta, and they have the talent. Now, you know, their defense to me is very suspect, very suspect. To see them give up those plays on against the run, it's mind-blowing. But, you know, they keep saying their backs are against the wall. It's like you said, how much more are your backs going to be against the wall? They're actually going through a wall right now. And there's no stopping this team. Now, am I surprised if they go to Baltimore and beat this team? No, it wouldn't shock me one bit. As a fan, I'm going to say they're going to win. I think it's going to be a 17-13 game. I think Eli's going to, you know, throw for a touchdown. You know, they got the talent. You look at David Wilson, you know, they have the players. Just, I just can't understand it. What is wrong with this team? How do you go to Atlanta and lay an egg?
That's a good question.
And not even put up a fight? And here's something else that's got me a little concerned.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard much of this. Lawrence Tynes missing these chip shot field goals.
It's not good.
You know what? Come on. This guy was money for the first, 12, 13 games of the season? Weeks of the season,
yep.
And now this guy's missing easy chip shots. You know, maybe it's a psychological thing with this team. Do I think they're going to the well one too many times? It could be. I've always said, you know, this team has a wonderful stroke of luck when everything falls in place and breaks their way. But you know what? You know what I notice? Right now, I don't see that luck. I don't see it. This team, to me, is really no different than last year's team. They still got JPP. They still got Tuck. They still got OC. Linval Joseph has been a phenomenal, phenomenal addition on this team.
Yep.
You know, they have the tools, John. They have the weapons. It's not as if they don't. Does Kevin Gilbride have to take a hit sometimes for some of his play calling? I'll admit I think there's a few times they go a little conservative. Playing against the Redskins, you had the ball. Well, I think it was like 4 minutes or something left. You don't give Washington back that ball. Stop doing these three straight run plays. You got a quarterback that's, in my opinion, and he is an elite quarterback. Trust your receivers and put it up there. You know what I'm saying? It's just once they get ahead, to me, for some reason, they can't stay ahead. And when they fall behind, they can't come from behind. Come on, you saw the same game I did against the Browns.
It was
like climbing a mountain just to come back against the Cleveland team.
Steve, you're right.
I mean, you know, listen, it's nerve-wracking as a fan, I'll tell you, because, you know, you live and die with this team. At least I know I do, and that's how I look at it. But one day I think this team is just going to go to the well, and the tick is all going to be dry. Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, Steve. And he's right. And, you know, fans say that the Giants were in this situation last year. They went on and won the Super Bowl, and that worked out great. Well, how did it work out being in the situation in 2009 and 2010?
Last year was actually a rare occurrence, you can say, because it hadn't clicked like that in the seasons prior.
You put yourself in the situation, you're setting yourself up for a failure. Remember that Panther game at home with the playoffs on the line a few years ago?
The Packer game in Green Bay where they needed to win because they were in, competing with Green Bay for that last playoff spot, laid an egg.
It's exasperation. That's what I hear from these fans. I heard it from Hugo. I heard it from Steve. It's exasperation. Just not understanding why this team cannot play the way everyone knows they're capable of playing more often. It's bizarre. You know, look at a team like the Cowboys this year. They've lost a lot of close games. They've won a lot of close games. But most of these games have been really tight. So, you know, they're probably not much more than a 500 team based on the way they play all these tight games. But the Giants are the opposite. They'll get blown out by Cincinnati. They'll blow out the Packers. It's just the Seinfeld episode. They look at the sitcom as like one of those heart readouts. And George says, well, our show is going to be like a massive coronary. That's what the Giants season is. It's a massive coronary. It's up and down, up and down, up and down.
And that's what it's giving its fans, too.
It
is. A massive coronary.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Derek down in North Carolina. Thanks for holding, Derek. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great, Derek. How about yourself?
I could be better. Still feeling a little sickening about that loss to Atlanta.
I hear you.
But my question to you guys is, does it seem to you like that tradition that the Giants defense has been built off of? Do you think that still exists in the organization today? Because to me, it seems like one minute they're doing their thing, taking care of business, you know, doing their jobs, and then they just, it's like they're there. To me, it seems like I know the players are there, but if somebody else is wearing their uniforms on the field.
Things like tradition, like, Derek, are great. And I think the people here understand the history and appreciate the history of Giants defense. But it's still a matter of going out there on Sunday, executing the game plan, and just playing good individual football and beating the man across from you on the field.
Right. And you're absolutely right about that. But like I said, it's just, you know, it seems like that what really upset me is the fact that I know the type of defense that we have. We have the talent. You know, it's Stevie Brown. Kudos to him. You know, he's been a great player thus far this year for the defense. But I'm saying, when you go out there and you get these plays, and you're not, I mean, do you think it's the ego that's getting in the way of them out there actually going out on the field to perform?
I don't think it has anything to do with the ego or the personalities on this team because nobody's really been that disruptive in the locker room. I mean, Antrell Roll's probably been the most vocal of the group. Everybody else really, you know, keeps it internally and then just tries to carry it out on the football field each and every Sunday. I think it's just about execution, Derek. I mean, that's the bottom line. 18 missed tackles against the Atlanta Falcons, and appreciate the phone call. I mean, how is that not execution? You're going to tell me you need a mental or physical evaluation to determine why you have 18 missed tackles? It's a matter of wrapping up a guy and bringing him down. It's not as if guys are out of position. It's not as if guys forgot how to play football. You wrap a guy down, you can't let him get out of your grasp. And that's what they did against the Atlanta Falcons. Michael Turner, a lot of yardage after the initial contact. You can't let Ray Rice do that, or else you can have similar results this week.
By the way, I know at this time every Friday, Pat Hanlon usually joins us. Well, I received an email from Pat Hanlon at 9 a.m. He didn't tell me I should read this on the air, but I'm going to do it anyway. Subject line. I'm taking a pass today. I was very disappointed when I read the subject line. Then I read the body of the email. There's nothing left to say. The time for talking is over. And he's right. It goes back to what we said earlier with this whole talk of back against the wall. This is a show-me league. And the Giants have to show us against the Ravens this weekend after that performance against the Falcons. You got to make sure it's more the bird hunting season and much less Alfred Hitchcock the birds. the Birds certainly had the advantage in that case.
Yeah, the Birds were flying freely throughout Atlanta. I don't know whether or not they have free terrain in Baltimore, but for the Giants' sake, they don't want them to be spreading their wings like the Falcons did the other week.
201-939-4513. Victor's up in Connecticut. Good morning, Victor.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing great, Victor.
I don't want to beat the same dead horse because I think the horse is dead at this point. But,
well said.
But you guys have made some really great points, and some of the callers have. And, you know, I guess you always got to categorize things. I bleed blue like the rest of them. I watch, I attend, you know, for the last 25 years. But I think the bottom line is, without going on and on and on, is, and this is hard for me to say, but I just don't think they're that good. I just don't think they're that good this year. Do I think they have playmakers on the team? Absolutely. Do I think they have decent coaches on the team? Absolutely. But I just don't think they're that good. I think Osi's gotten a little old. I think Tuck is a little hurt. I think JP, JPP is a little bit off. You know, Tuck used to be really good at one point in time, and I'm not saying he's bad now, but I think he benefited a lot from Strahan. I think Osi did too. I think as the years went on, you know, I think they've worn down a little bit. I think our linebackers are adequate. I love Chase, but, you know, athletically he's not the best, but his heart, he's terrific. And our DBs, well, they've been on and off. Webster's had, you know, a really subpar year. I think we really miss Thomas a lot. There's an old wise man that once said, you are what your record is. And I think, you know, although their record is not horrible, I think they just are an average team. And I really think they're going to struggle in Baltimore this week. And when they get to the Eagles and the Eagles smell the blood in the water, when they need that game to win, if it comes down to that, I'm going to have a really, really tough Sunday afternoon based on the, you know, the past and the Eagles. But the last thing I would just say is this, because a lot of people say, and you guys have mentioned the ups and downs and how frustrated people are. They don't know what they're going to get. And I say to my wife every Sunday, I wonder who's showing up today. I believe that's that comes down to two things. I believe it comes down to, on the coach's side, it comes down to preparation. I mean, Tom always talks about preparation. They're prepared. We had a good practice. But I think it really comes down to motivation. Every time they have somebody come in and visit them, they had the guys from the services come in and talk to them, and I think they got really motivated. They seem to do really well. I think you need to be self-motivated. So, you know, to kind of wind it up a little bit, I believe that this Sunday will be very tough for the Giants, and I think that next Sunday will be very tough. And I'm just hoping that the back's against the wall. Well, I hope they're there, but I'm not counting on it. But thank you for your time, and let me talk, and let's hope for a good game.
Thanks for calling, Victor, and thanks for holding. We appreciate it. And I want to just add one thing to Victor said to his first point, which I thought was a good one. Maybe the team's not that good. And I believe that was my quote exactly after the Redskins game last year. Maybe this team's just not that good. And then I look like a damn fool for the next 6 weeks. That's why I didn't open the show on Monday morning when we did the show off that Falcons game saying that exact same thing. Because we've seen what this team is capable of doing and putting a run together. So Victor's right. Off these first 14 games this year, and you had that in a vacuum, the same way I looked at the first 14 games last year in a vacuum, you would say, maybe this team's not that good. But that's the thing. We've seen them be so good, Lance. I don't know who's going to show up.
Listen, we could sit here to a blue in the face, John, and ask that same question over and over again. We've been saying it for weeks. It really is hard to put your finger on the pulse of this team. Because the pulse some weeks is extremely high, the practice level is high, and it translates to games. But then what Victor said, there are weeks where practice has been great, and then they have not met that level on game day. Can't read so much into what their performance is like during the course of the week.
Yeah, this whole practicing I think is a little overrated. Because in practice, all you're doing is practicing plays and walking through plays. You're not hitting, you're not being physical, you're not trying to beat the man across from you. And I don't think the Giants are losing games because they're not carrying out game plans. Like, they're not running the wrong routes. They're not running the wrong coverages in the secondary. They're not screwing up their assignments. And that's what practice shows you. They're still on top of their assignments on game day. They're just getting beat physically. Those are two different things.
Well, and maybe this is a stretch, but, you know, as I threw out with respect to Victor Cruz last season, how, you know, he was new. He came out of nowhere, and teams had to slowly adjust him, and it took the course of the whole season. Maybe teams this season are just doing a better job in game planning and learning how to counter what the Giants present and bring to the table.
Look at the Packers at the end of last year, and it's carried on to this season to a certain extent. When you see an offense and you see a player, even great players like Aaron Rodgers around for a while, you start to figure out a little bit how they succeed. You game plan against them, and they adjust back. You know, the truly great ones, you can't do that against, like the Peyton Manning. There's no scheming against Peyton Manning. He's Peyton Manning. There's no scheming against Tom Brady. He's Tom Brady. And that's why earlier in the year, when, you know, people called Eli the best quarterback in the league, I said, I'm not sure I put him with those other two guys. And that's why. I in a regular season game, it's hard to imagine a Brady or a Peyton coming out and playing the type of game that we saw last week out of Eli. That's all I'm saying. Again, he's a great quarterback. He can quarterback my team any day. Big spot. I'll take him over Peyton. All right? But that's the difference in the consistency factor between all the players. 201-939-4513. Wouldn't be a Friday without Len and Marilyn breaking down the Giants' game plan and their keys to victory on Sunday afternoon. Len, good morning, pal. This one's in your backyard.
Good morning. I'm working myself into a frenzy. I'm getting ready, and you guys are helping me. You guys are this is great therapy.
Thank you.
I'm telling you, you're cheaper than a shrink. That's for sure.
Nice.
Hey, I'm going to keep it keep it short.
We do accept checks, by the way.
I like although you've heard me say this too. I like the attitude of your boss. You know, talk is cheap. It takes money to buy whiskey. You've heard me say that before.
Yeah.
Indeed. Hey, make a tackle. You know, tackling, two components to tackling. One, you got to have a will to do it. I mean, that guy's coming at you. Ray Rice is coming at you. You got to want to tackle Ray Rice, first of all. You got to want to stick your nose in there. Keep your head up. Stick your nose. Watch his belly button. Keep your head up. Stick your nose in there. And then wrap up, for gosh sakes. Please, wrap up. You know, I still think we're better than we're showing.
Well, you better be.
I think we're better than we're showing. And I think I hope we don't get to the end of the year and say the secret to success in 2013 is our best players have to play better. I mean, we're down to it these 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I hope we're not getting set up for major disappointment on Sunday night. You know, 7:30 Sunday night, we could be out of this. We could be out of this. That's just unthinkable.
And you know what? And Len, the sad thing about it, looking at the schedule, it's not something that's out of the question based on the opponents
for these other teams. We could be playing that last game at Giant Stadium in December, you know, 18 degrees in snow in a meaningless game.
It's true.
We could be out of this Sunday night. I mean, for me as a fan, looking at this roster with the hopes that I had, you know, before the season started, I just can't. I've said it, and it scares me to even think that that's where we're going to be on Sunday night. All right, it's time to win a football game. Let's go, Giants. I think we can win this game. And look, we're going to know early.
True.
We both alluded to this. Somebody mentioned this early in the show today. They're going to punch us in the nose early and often. And unless we respond, it's going to be a long, long day in that stadium. And we're going to know early. We're going to know early.
I agree.
It's only going to take a couple of series on both sides to find out whether or not we're in this fight or we're running for the bus. I hope it's not another 0-9 where we got wiped out in those last two games. God, that was just I think back to that. It's nightmarish. Carolina and Minnesota running us off the field. Embarrassing. Come on, Giants. Let's go, guys. Make a tackle.
All right,
hey,
Len.
Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks so much
for the call. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, and Giants fans can turn back to the last couple of seasons. It has been painful, but you know, I'm going to go back to the Giants are hungry, but look at what the Ravens have had to deal with the last couple of weeks, John. Lost to the Steelers. This was a team that Charlie Batch was anchoring on offense.
I know.
They went up against not the backup, but the third stringer that the Steelers threw at them.
Who did absolutely nothing the prior week when he started, and people wanted them to sign somebody off the street to replace Charlie Batch, by the way.
Then they go to Washington, a back-and-forth offensive battle, but they have the lead, and then RG3 gets knocked out. Kirk Cousins comes in, He gets the game-tying touchdown. He gets the two-point conversion, and they lose in overtime. And then last week, not even showing up against the Broncos. Flacco throws an interception. Chris Harris returns at 98 yards for a touchdown. I mean, things are really falling apart in Baltimore. But
though that really could have changed the game. That pick six came at the end of the second quarter. I think at the time it was 17-3. I think at that point.
They were still within striking distance.
And they're on. They're knocking on the door. If they score a touchdown there, it's a one-score contest. And instead, the pick six for 98 yards makes it 24-3, which clearly is a 14-point swing. So maybe they weren't quite as out of that game as the score might indicate.
But then it got ugly late.
No question.
You could tell. Lack of intensity, lack of effort. And I'm not necessarily calling out the Ravens, but the point I'm making is normally the Giants have those bounce-back games where they were beat up the previous week. But what's interesting is you have a Ravens team that is just as beat up, if not beat up even more, than the Giants, given
Ravens
what they've had to deal with.
They're a mess on defense.
And yes, they are in the playoffs, and a lot of people, I've heard this throughout the course of this week, well, the Ravens are going to look to rest players. They know they're in. They're
fine. They want to play better. They want to play better.
Cincinnati's a game back of Baltimore. If you had the choice between going on the road the first week of the playoffs or getting a home game, you're going to tell me you wouldn't choose the home game?
And by the way, Ravens play the Bengals final week of the season. So extremely important for the Ravens to get this win. And when you lose three straight, you have Super Bowl aspirations, which I'm sure the Ravens do still have. You got to play better and go some type of run here into the playoffs. You want to lose four out of your last five games heading into the postseason. Potentially five in a row if they lose to Cincinnati next week.
Let's not forget, this was a team that was one drop pass away, or a field goal miss, I should say, from heading to the Super Bowl.
A very good field goal kicker, by the way, too. Missed that field goal.
Billy Cundiff.
But again, a lot of injuries that have changed the fortunes of the Ravens. Back to our phones at 201-939-4513. Alan in Washington, D.C. Alan, what's up, pal?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I mean, this is a tough week for us, man. I shame on you guys trying to figure out that whole dichotomy about, you know, how the Giants do it and why they do it. Nobody understands that. I mean,
we have to try.
It's been going on for years, and you guys know. You guys should know better. We've been talking about this a million times. I mean, there is no explanation. Like, the explanation is that there is no explanation. There is no sound, logical explanation for why it happens. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, as Giants fans, we can't argue with the results. You know, it's about holding that Lombardi at the end of the day. And, you know, and they managed to do that, even being through inconsistency or whatever. But I mean, I don't even think about that stuff anymore. I mean, it's so far beyond like explanation. I've lost my mind trying to understand that aspect. But don't play Baltimore, man. And I mean, they're right here. And I hear a lot about Baltimore because I'm in the tri-state area, and they got a lot of fans that I'm going to see, you know, coming to work every day. You know, and they're feeling just as the same way as the Giants. They're at a point where their football team is very inconsistent as well. I mean, they beat up on some teams like Cincinnati Bengals and like, you know, they beat up on certain teams like, you know, the Cleveland Browns and, you know, but then they struggle against like the Kansas City Chiefs or they'll lose a close game to Pittsburgh, Washington, and you know, and then they get blown out by Denver. So they are also experiencing a lot of inconsistencies. I've heard it from their fans, you know, they don't understand it either. Like, how could this be? But it's just the way it goes sometimes in the NFL. It's very competitive. You can win or lose to anybody any given Sunday. And it's the principle of football. But, you know, this is not the same Baltimore team. I mean, they're known for their defense. This year, they're like back in the line. You know, they're 26 in defense, 22 in passing, 26 in rushing. It's not what they're used to doing.
Though Alan, much like the Giants in terms of scoring and points allowed, I believe they're only 11th or 12th, giving up only about 21 points per game.
You're right. Yeah, they don't allow that many points. They're very good in the red zone and stuff like that.
Yep.
But for us, you know, as a Giants fan, I've been following them all season, you guys know. But what really worries me, and you guys already talked about this, Land has addressed it. Number 27, Ray Rice. That boy's a beast. You know, Len's right. We gotta wrap him up. We gotta hit him on every play. We got to make his life really hard. I know Baltimore's going through a lot. They have a new coordinator. They're making some changes. They're trying to revamp their offense and maybe get him involved some more. And for a Giants fan, that scares me, because we lose to teams who usually have a great running back. I mean, Atlanta was an exception. There's already exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, the teams that give us a hard time are the running backs. Teams with running back. I mean, you got to stop that guy from Rutgers. You got to stop him. You got to stop number 27, Ray Rice. We do that, we'll put ourselves in a better position. Of course, we need points, guys. We Baltimore is a team you don't want to play close. Like, you know, you don't want to ever get into a field goal game with them, because those are the ones that they win. We want to play our style of football. We got to throw that ball. Victor Cruz needs to get going. Hakeem Nicks, there's enough talk about his leg, man. He looks good out there. He just got to do his thing. You know, it's time to show up, man. This is the time of the year where the Giants fans, they know better. We should all know better. This is the time where we need to show up. And, you know, more, based on our history, we will, you know. But I'm not saying, you know, build the bridge, all that stuff is out the window at this point. There is no bridge. There is nothing. It's just, this is it. It's either win or go home. And, you know, as much as I say, you know, you can't understand the whole nature of the why we do better when our backs are against the wall. I mean, there is no explanation for that, and there is no excuse for that. But at the same time, you know, this is Giants football. This is where we shine. And this is
all right, Alan.
This is our time.
All right, thanks a lot for the call, pal.
All right, man.
You have a Merry Christmas. Thank you very much.
And Alan was building parallels between the Giants and the Ravens, how both teams are fairly inconsistent and both fan bases have the same concerns.
That's
but
right.
I would compare this year's Ravens defensive unit to almost the Giants defensive unit last year, given all the injuries that they've had to deal with. That you can at least point to why they've been somewhat inconsistent.
Except
John,
I don't think they're going to get the guys back the way the Giants did last season.
True. I mean, maybe Ray Lewis will come back, but Ray Lewis has been very up and down since he's been battling numerous injuries himself.
And he has a torn biceps. That's a 4 to 6 month injury. He's been out 8 weeks.
Suggs had a similar injury, and he's not even yet 100%.
Torn
so
triceps.
That just goes to show you. But still.
He literally has to leave the game in pain at times because that triceps is so bad. It's a miracle he came back from that Achilles as fast as he did, or was it the ACL?
Well, he's been dealing with multiple injuries.
I think it was the Achilles last year he tore, right? Or was it the ACL?
Suggs was the ACL.
ACL in the offseason.
Yeah.
So,
no, you know what? I think it was the Achilles. It was a basketball injury.
Yeah, I thought it was the Achilles.
I believe it was the Achilles,
right?
Yes, I stand corrected.
Yeah, I thought it was
the
Achilles.
Achilles, yes.
You guys are making me second guess.
Supposedly during a basketball game, I should
exactly.
Say. Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's just, and the reason we're letting you guys talk a lot today, and if you guys noticed, we've let the calls go a little bit longer than we usually do. We usually, you know, try to move from caller to caller as much. We sense the exasperation here from Giant fans. And Lance, you can sense the frustration in the voices of fans where they still have such high hopes, but they're now tempered because of the way the team has played so inconsistently this year.
But I can't blame any of the
fans.
No,
of course not.
Because, John, you and I are pretty much in a similar predicament in terms of trying to pinpoint why these troubles have occurred from week to week, and it's hard.
It's
very difficult, even the best, to study game film week in and week out. It is very difficult to, number one, just build an identity for this team and say, this is what the Giants are known for.
Yep.
This is what they do good week to week.
There is no identity.
What can you throw out there?
That they aren't a pass rushing team anymore.
So cross that off the list. Are they a rushing team ground?
They're not a power running team anymore.
Are they a prolific passing team now where Manning's going to throw 300 to 350 yards a game?
Nope.
Turnovers have been building, clearly.
That is the one thing that I think you can put your finger on. The Giants are a team that depends on turnovers to win football games. When the Giants force turnovers, they win. When the Giants don't force turnovers, they lose.
That's a risky business.
Really risky business.
Look at the Chicago Bears. I keep pointing to the Bears' defense.
Perfect
was
example.
Tremendous earlier this season. They were winning games regardless of what Jay Cutler did. They were getting about a defensive touchdown a contest. They were forcing fumbles. They were getting interceptions. They were getting to the quarterback. Now, due to injuries, of course, that's one factor. But the Bears' defense has been non-existent the last couple of weeks. And how convenient. The Bears' losing skid has been timed perfectly with the Bears' defense not excelling.
Well, Urlacher has been playing a lot of these games, too, but your point still stands.
And they lost Jennings, too, one of their top corners.
You
and Tillman's been banged up.
Depend on turnovers to win your football games in this league. If you do, It's going to eventually burn you. Now, the Saints managed to pull that off when they won the Super Bowl. They were ridiculous, I think, like plus 28 that year or some crazy number like that.
And it continued in the playoffs that year.
And it continued in the playoffs. But it's a very difficult thing to depend on, especially when you're playing other teams that have top-notch players and quarterbacks, like the Matt Ryans, to a lesser extent the Joe Flacco. Now, they turned over Breeze pretty well, but Breeze has had some turnover issues this year that have cropped up more than they have in his typical season. So, I don't know, Lance. It's just, I wish I had answers. We're here to try to give the Giant fans some guidance, some information, some answers, and I'm really just at a loss to tell them exactly what to expect this week.
And Joe Flacco, just piggybacking off of the point that you just mentioned regarding how the Giants have been doing well against quarterbacks that are known to really kill you in the secondary, Flacco's been up and down in terms of ball protection, specifically the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
Lost a couple of fumbles, had the key interception we talked about against Denver. So you can put him in a position where maybe he can make mistakes.
How do you do that?
Well, you got to get to him, number one.
Well, how do you get to him?
They haven't had success doing.
You got to stop the run.
Which, another point that I was going to bring up with respect to stopping the run, let's not forget, and I know he's been hurt and hasn't practiced this week, the Ravens have arguably the best fullback in the NFL.
Vontae Leach is excellent. And they're also getting back their best offensive lineman, Yanda, practice again yesterday.
So,
he's going to help their offensive line.
You know, the timing of that can play a role in terms of really helping this running game for the Ravens, which has also been up and down. Remember, Ray Rice has been complaining all season long.
Yep.
He's been calling for the football.
And knowing Vontae Leach, by the way, he's probably going to play, even though he didn't practice.
Absolutely.
He's a tough guy.
He's a fighter. He was a Pro Bowler with the Houston Texans. Look at what he did for Arian Foster and Ben
yep.
Tate. It's carried over from team to team regardless of the scheme.
And the Texans running game, not as prolific this year with Adam, just to point that out. 201-939-4513. We have two more calls on the lines. We're going to cut it off there. Lance and I'll do our picks, and then we'll say goodbye. I hope everybody has a great holiday weekend. 201-939-4513. Mike's in North Bergen, New Jersey. Mike, are you ready to start bird hunting season anew?
Bird hunting season is still in effect. You guys are right, though. They were flying around and they were crapping on us. You know what they say, man. Bird crap brings you some good luck. So
that's
hey,
true.
Let's see what happens, man. Let's see what happens this Sunday. But I just want to make this comment, though. It's a little bit off subject, but I just got to give a lot of props to Tom Coughlin, man. I don't know if anybody, the rest of Blue Nation, got a chance to see this, but that story of football life about Coughlin.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Excellent, excellent story, man. That man's story right there will definitely make you appreciate
Mike,
all the tough, hardcore values. Yeah.
Mike, by the way, you know what made that story and really took it to a whole other level?
Here
John Schmelk had about a 2-second cameo in that. Not many people overlooked that fact, but that is what really made it what it was today. Just a little side note.
Oh,
anyway, continue.
Man. Oh, hey, there you go. You got a little bit of TV time there, Schmelk, huh?
There we go.
No question.
But I got to give Kaufman props. Also, you know, people say that Ahmad Bradshaw is the heart and soul of the team. I think Judy Coughlin might have him beat in that department, brothers. I don't know.
Judy Coughlin's certainly the heart and soul of that household.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. But great story. You know, I'm staying positive, guys. These next two games, we should be all right. You know, Coughlin got to get his message across, and I'm sure the guys will respond. You know, we're a tough team. We've been through this before. You know, I know it sounds cliche, but let's just get the job done. We'll do it. And I'll leave you guys with that, man. Happy holidays to you and yours, guys. Let's go get this victory.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. And you have no idea, Lance, how many extra calls my agent received after people saw me fumbling with the microphone behind Coach and looking like an uncoordinated fool.
Well, you're the president of the XLR Cable Society, right? I mean, you set the tone in terms of how to unravel the cables and everything. I mean, listen, Melroy learned everything from you.
Struggling with the mic clip.
That's right.
That was rough.
And real quickly, speaking of what Mike brought up regarding the Tom Coughlin piece, which was, in all seriousness, a great piece that was on NFL Network, and perhaps maybe they'll show it again sometime during the offseason. But there was an interesting article that I was reading coming in this morning in the New York Times, and it talked about Tom Coughlin and what he does to help motivate the team. And Kevin Booth was quoted, Justin Tuck, even former Giants linebacker Antonio Pierce. And there were a couple of players that had different takes. But what Booth talked about was the night before the Super Bowl. What Coughlin is so good at, John, is just putting together, whether it be an Excel format or a PowerPoint format, whatever you want to call it, he brings out all the tricks of the trade
with
the computer and really hits the team where they really can feel it. you know, gets to them emotionally. And they have seemed to have responded to that week in and week out. And I know sometimes people don't like to hear this stuff. Oh, that's all the emotional, the mental crap. Nobody wants to talk about that. But he has had a way to get this team to respond. Perhaps he has something up his sleeve to get this team to all of a sudden play consistent football once again.
Well, remember last year, if everybody watched the America's Game episode, they had the film of Coach Coughlin addressing the team the night before the Super Bowl, and he dropped the whole, you know, I love this team, I love you guys thing.
And that's what Booth was
referring
to.
A lot of the players really said that had a big impact on them, the showing, you know, Coach Coughlin's reputation is that of a cold guy who doesn't connect with his players and is, you know, mean disciplinarian, yells and screams a lot. But he's really belied that reputation here with the Giants since 2007, even before that, to a certain extent. And he does have a connection with his players. And you're right, Lance. He finds different ways and creative ways with him and his little, you know, core group. They come up with these motivational tactics to, you know, reach the players and get them to perform. And in the past, it has worked most of the time. Other times, though, 2009, 2010, not quite as well.
Perhaps this is the week to really dig deep.
Well, considering this team's inconsistency this year, they'll need as much as they possibly can to put them on the right mental page, for lack of a better word, lack of a better expression, to play well this week against Baltimore. 201-939-4513. Final call of the show is Fishter in Atlanta. What's up, Fishter?
I'm all right. You know, been down here in Atlanta, had a very rough week. You know,
I would imagine.
And I can't stop hearing the end of it. But my thing is, I feel like these guys, you know, after every game, you know, they say the right thing, but then the following week they go out there and then they, you know, I kind of agree with the Vidantro role. They stand back, admire all the players, say all these nice things about them instead of go out there and perform. And I feel like all the other Giant fans, this team to me, they're not playing with any heart. With the exception of the San Francisco and the Green Bay game, they show up and expect to just win these games. They keep talking about last year. They keep talking about they play better with their backs against the walls and all this stuff. You know, flip the switch on and off. I mean, they start the season with the same goal. What they need to do and say all this stuff instead of us going out there and playing like they're supposed to.
I don't have the answer for you. Fishter, I wish I did. I wish I could sit here and tell you the Giants have to do A, B, and C in order to play well this week, and I believe the Giants will come out and bring their A game and beat the Ravens this weekend consistently. I wish I could tell you that. I'd love to sit here and tell you that. So would Lance. But much like the fans, and you, I hear your frustration from you being down there in Atlanta. I'm sure you suffered all sorts of pain this week from all those Falcon fans running around. You just don't know what team's showing up.
Yeah, well, I hope they realize it's put up or shut up time. All this talk and all this stuff, unless they win Sunday, you know, they might as well just forget it.
All right, Fisher, thanks so much for the phone call. And real quickly before we get to the picks, John, you know, another thing that to me has stood out this season, if you hold the Giants up against some of the other top teams in the NFC, Atlanta, San Francisco, for example, knowing how to close out games. And I know the Giants haven't been necessarily in a lot of close games. There's been games where they, as you pointed out earlier, they beat up San Francisco and then they got beat up by Atlanta. But why are the Falcons where they are right now? They've played a lot of close games, and it hasn't been pretty football more often than not, but they found a way to get the big passing play when they need it, get the big defensive stop, get the big rushing yardage. The Niners, last week against the Patriots, they blew that massive lead. New England comes back, ties it. San Francisco responds with a touchdown. The point I'm making here is there have been games like that for the Giants, and each and every time they have not put their fist into the ground and made that game-changing type of play or really shown that they are the more physical team to walk away with a victory even though it hasn't been a pretty football game.
Well, there have been some games, though, where they have been able to come out of close games and win. The second Cowboy game, for an example.
But they blew a very big lead in that contest.
Sure, but they split. Yeah. But so did the Niners against the Patriots. They held on and they won, much like the Giants did against Dallas. They came back against Cleveland after going down in that game, came back, won the game. Buccaneer game, that was a back-and-forth contest. They scored late to win that contest. Now, are those games recent games? No, they're all about a month and a half since the Giants played against the Falcons last week. So recently, you're right. Their history in recent close games, whether it's the Steeler game or the Redskin game, has been poor.
And also throw that Eagle game out.
And
another opportunity to be in a position to win a late game, which is close.
All right, Lance, we'll get our final thoughts in a second. Want to do picks real quick?
Absolutely.
Here? Now, you gained ground on me for the first time in what seems like half a season.
It's been a lengthy
week.
Drought.
You've closed to within 5 games. You're now at 39-45, inching back towards 500. I'm 4 games over. Decent, not great, at 44-40. Now, we obviously picked out some very important division games. Just really a great weekend of football this week. A lot of big games that'll decide playoffs, divisions, wild cards. It's really a great weekend of football to sit your big butt in front of the TV and relax a little bit before the holidays on Monday and Tuesday and get the eating starting early over the weekend. So instead of gaining that holiday 5 pounds, you can gain that holiday 10 pounds. It's always more fun that way anyway. All right, here we go. Steelers-Bengals AFC battle first, AFC North. Both these teams battling for a playoff spot. Ravens right now in first place in the AFC North. The Bengals and the Steelers not far behind. I like the Steelers in this game to finally win a game. They're at home. They didn't play poorly against the Cowboys last week. The Cowboys just managed to make a play at the end of the game. A great interception by Carr in that contest. Really, the worth of basically the price of that contract almost made worth it based on that one play. Won the game for the Cowboys in overtime. I like the Steelers in that game.
This is an intriguing stat about the Bengals. They've lost their last 9 meetings to the Steelers and the Ravens. So that just tells you that since he's been great against every other team except the Steelers and the Ravens.
Is it mental now? That's a good question.
It could maybe be getting to them. And Marvin Lewis's squad. I like Pittsburgh. I think they're due for a bounce back game. Roethlisberger's back. Clearly they're getting a little bit healthier on defense. Polamalu's been back the last 3 games. People are questioning whether he's playing at that same level. But to me, I think this is the type of physical football game that the Steelers more often than not win.
Cowboys and Saints, rather. I think the Saints win this game. I think this is when the Cowboys' magical run here of winning all these close games finally comes to a close. They have a lot of injuries in the secondary. Scandrick's out for the year. We'll see if Morris Claiborne can play. The Saints had a big game last week against Tampa Bay. I think the Saints come out. It'll be a close game, but I think the Saints will score a little bit too much for the Cowboys to keep up. But that being said, I want to give credit here for a second to Jason Garrett and that Cowboys coaching staff and the players who've dealt with just about as many injuries as the Ravens have this year, except on both sides of the ball. You have Dez Bryant with a broken finger. You had DeMarco Murray miss a lot of time with an injury. You have on defense, you're starting nose tackle Jay Ratliff out. Your two inside linebackers who are both playing at a Pro Bowl level, Bruce Carter and Sean Lee out. You have your slot corner who is playing excellent this year, Orlando Scandrick, out for the season. Barry Church, their safety, out for the season. Anthony Spencer missed 6 or 7 games. Your second-best pass rusher to DeMarcus Ware. Yet the Cowboys are still in a position here where, much like the Giants and the Redskins, if they win out, they control their own destiny, they can win this division. So I think Jason Garrett has saved his job for next year based on this late season performance, assuming they don't get crushed by the Saints and the Redskins the final 2 games, which would change the dynamic there. I think they'd lose to the Saints in a close one, but I think the Cowboys continue to play well, and maybe Jason Garrett has that program turned around where they're becoming a more fundamentally sound and disciplined football team.
Well, unfortunately, maybe that tragedy with Josh Brent was a wake-up call for the team, but they have seemed to respond. They've been playing more consistently. I think Rob Ryan deserves a lot of credit on top of Jason Garrett. What he's been able to do with this defensive personnel that you mentioned has been decimated by injuries. They've been using Michael Coe, former Giant now in the mix in the Dallas secondary.
Charlie
out
Peppra,
there.
Another former Giant.
Against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So they're trying to, you know, plug in these holes, and players are responding. I actually like Dallas winning this game. I think just based on Dallas's track record, they tend to set up their fan base to be excited about that last game of the season, and then they have some letdown performances. You look at the Eagles 2 years ago
in
Philly.
Hence my pick of the Saints.
And the Giants game last season where they also had an opportunity to win the division. It could set up this way if they beat the Saints and the Redskins beat the Eagles. It's basically win and take home the division in that final week against the Redskins,
you know,
on the road.
Even if, and tell me if I'm wrong here, I haven't looked at the tiebreaker that closely. I guess that's my fault. I should have. If the Cowboys lose to the Saints this week, the Redskins beat the Eagles. If the Cowboys beat the Redskins this week, who has that tiebreaker?
Well, it'd be going head to head. You're saying if the Cowboys beat the Redskins, they would have split the season series.
Correct.
So they would fall back to a tie.
They would both
and then
be
it would
four
go
and two
to
in the division.
The division
They'd
record.
Both be four
they would
and two
both
in the
be
division.
Four and two.
I
okay, I don't know if the top.
I'm not sure who wins the division of those two teams finished tied and the Giants finished behind them.
in that event, then it would have to go to a third or a fourth
common
tiebreaker.
Common opponents would be the next one.
And we'd have to sit here and look at the different conference
opponents. Yeah, if the Cowboys lose this week, the Redskins win, but then the Cowboys beat the Redskins the final week of the year. No, they'll be both tied at 4-2 in that case. We'll look that up before the show is over. I'm curious about that. Let's continue. We'll jump back to that in a second. Next game, Redskins and Eagles. I still think the Eagles are – they're playing a little bit better, but the Redskins are just too much offensively. That Eagles defense is just really a disaster at this point. They can't stop anybody. Robert Griffin III is going to play. He'll go for 3 or 4 touchdowns. Alfred Morris will run the football all over the place. I think the Redskins put up a 40 spot on the Eagles. They win 42-20.
I like the Redskins in this game, too. I think RG3 is looking very good that he'll be able to get out there. He's put in a couple of full practices the last few days. The Eagles' defense made things interesting against the Bengals in the first half last week. And then since he just capitalized, you wear down that Eagles' defense, it's very hard for them to play consistently through four quarters. The one promising thing, though, John, that I like about the Eagles this week, LeSean McCoy will play. He's going to split carries with Bryce Brown, from what Andy Reid said, and perhaps just looking ahead for the Giants' sake, that's not a good situation because McCoy has been a Giants killer, and the last thing you want is for him to gain confidence with one game under his belt heading into that Week 17 matchup. So that's at least something to monitor for the Giants' sake, that they may be going up against not just a one-headed monster but a two-headed monster in that Philadelphia backfield, which will take pressure off of Nick Foles.
Here you go. If Washington, this is off of CBSSports.com. If Washington, Dallas, and Giants are all tied at 9-7, Washington will be the division champion if they beat Dallas the final of the week of the season. If Dallas beats Washington to get to 9-7, the Cowboys will be the division champion based on better record against
common opponents.
9-3 for the Cowboys to 7-5 for Washington. In either case, the Giants would finish third in that division tiebreaker, which again, that's why the Giants, it's so important for them to win their final two games of the season. Now, final couple games. Seahawks and 49ers. This game's in Seattle. I think the 49ers are a little tired of these upstart Seahawks saying, we have a chance to win this division. I think that defense comes out. I think they shut Russell Wilson down. I think they slow down Marshawn Lynch. They get some turnovers. I think Vernon Davis finally puts it together. We saw last week he was open a couple times down the field, and Kaepernick just overthrew him a little bit. They're just a little bit off. I think they finally connect with Vernon Davis this week. He has a big game. Frank Gore, he ran for 120 yards against that Seahawks defense the first time they played this year. So they've had some success running the football. I think the Niners win this game in a tight one.
I'm going to go against you again to hopefully pick up some ground. I like the Seahawks in this game. Number one, very difficult to win in Seattle. Number two, the Seahawks offense has been playing out of its mind. Granted, they haven't been going up against a defense like the Niners, but still, Russell Wilson is getting better and better every week, and even Pete Carroll admitted they are now all of a sudden widening the playbook, and they're saying, you know what, kid, you've got free reign, do as you please and make some plays, and he has Marshawn Lynch to lean on, and that helps.
Everyone loved his arm, they loved his mind, they thought he was a smart quarterback coming out of college, but just worried about the height. Now that hasn't been a factor, much like Drew Brees when he came into the league for the Chargers, he's just taken off.
And here's the other thing to throw into the mix. Alex Smith was under center the first matchup back in Week 7, which the Niners won 13-6. Now Colin Kaepernick.
True.
To you, has Kaepernick seen a defense as explosive and as dangerous as the Seahawks? I'm not quite so sure.
Probably
this could
not
be an interesting test for him. I think Seattle's going to have a couple of tricks up its sleeve.
Seahawks are missing one of its top corners, by the way. So we'll
but Sherman's appeal is today, so he will more than likely be able to play this weekend.
Assuming he wins his appeal.
Correct. But the NFL doesn't usually decide on these things until Tuesdays. I would be
stunned
if a decision comes down within the next day.
That is accurate. All right. Wild card games, I like the Bears to beat the Cardinals. I think that's self-explanatory. The Cardinals have no quarterback. The Bears' defense loves turnovers. They'll force turnovers this week. I'm playing them in my fantasy football Super Bowl. I'm unhappy about this, but facts are facts, and the Bears will probably dominate the Cardinals.
I don't even know why I let you win that game. I mean, take that game, I should say.
The Bears have lost like 5 straight.
Yeah, but, you know, the way that they're performing, I would assume that they'll be able to do enough against whoever the Cardinals throw out under center. Granted, Arizona did play well against Detroit.
In Arizona as well, a tough place to win. Cardinals, good defense. You like the Dolphins over the Bills.
I do like the Dolphins over the Bills, and my rationale is basically more often than not, division rivals split the season series. Buffalo took the first matchup in Buffalo, and now I think Miami is going to return the favor on their home field. And, you know, the Dolphins have looked good the last couple of weeks. I think that Tannehill has slowly progressed.
You love the Dolphins.
Well, I do. I mean, I think.
Love the Dolphins.
Let's put it this way. The Dolphins have exceeded expectations this season. Yeah. I think most people would agree
Tannehill's done an excellent job. People thought he would take a long time to develop. He's been very good.
And they have a good defense. And when you give a rookie quarterback a good defense, that takes the pressure off.
They have struggled against the pass, though, and I think that's why the Bills will win this game. That's my upset special. I think the Bills go into Miami and beat the Miami Dolphins. You're upset special. You like the Vikings over the Texans. That's a gutsy call. I like that, Meadow.
Who has stopped Adrian Peterson the last couple weeks? You want me to go through his numbers?
Nah,
last eight games,
you don't have to tell me.
Has had triple digits, two of the last three, at least 200 yards rushing. He has looked like a rookie. He's looked like a player that never even tore a knee ligament. That's how explosive Adrian Peterson has been. And it's been a blessing in disguise for the Vikings because prior to his hot streak, Christian Ponder, very up and down. Started off great this season, then, you know, had a stretch where he struggled. Now they're just feeding the ball on the ground. The Vikings' offensive line has been doing a tremendous job. Their defense has been coming together. And the Texans have been good, but as you even mentioned, John, their running game is not nearly as explosive as it was last season. And maybe it is the loss of Vontae Leach. Maybe it's as simple as that. But I think that if the Vikings can make some plays, they can run the ball consistently, they're going to be in position to win this game. And let's not forget, the Vikings right now, if the playoffs were to start, would have the sixth seed. They have a wild card. There's a lot of motivation ahead for them to lock up that postseason bid.
Now I want to touch quickly on the Giants.com fantasy competition between everybody here in the broadcast department that you can, of course, check out on Giants.com. You still haven't sent out the rankings, by the way. It's a bad job, Miller. It's Friday.
Well, as I mentioned, there's no game until Saturday.
Nevertheless,
so I'm going to give him a valid excuse at least this
week.
I'm
not buying it. Anyway, the standings have tightened, except for the guy in first place. He's still way ahead. You can't really compete with that. That's
fine. You know, maybe we should have you stop giving the summary of the fantasy.
But from second place to – I'll even go down to Bob Papa. From second place to eighth place is only separated by 55 points. There's a bunch of people in that mix, including Lance Meadow, who's slowly making his way up the charts here. Now trailing Anita Marks in sixth place by just 16 points and is 30 points behind both Howard Cross and Jeff Fiegels, who are sitting at fourth and fifth. So you are within striking distance to at least finish respectably in the top half of the standings.
And the top six make the playoffs, if I'm correct, based on the rules that were sent out earlier this week. So it's a playoff push, even in fantasy land, throughout this week. But you're right, I could make a jump in just 1 week.
Could be a big jump.
You don't necessarily have to divide this up over 2 weeks. You can sky up through the standings even after week 16. Things could be very interesting heading into week 17, just like the Giants themselves.
Could be.
A lot of intriguing storylines.
I mean, I have my feet up and, you know, I have the umbrella drink going.
So the postseason bid has been locked. Clearly, you're in a comfort
zone. I'm really only concerned with the regular season championship. This whole playoff thing is something fun that we'll compete in, but the regular season championship is really what matters.
So what is the motivation then? The next 2 weeks. So you are not concerned so much about your picks? Are you going to take some risks maybe because you have
some I will pick guys room? The exact same way I've picked them so far this year because that's gotten me such a huge first-place lead that is really at this point in the season insurmountable.
But remember, it goes head-to-head in the playoffs. So 1 week and you could be
I'm
done.
I'm not that worried about the playoffs.
So you're just looking for the regular season
about
title.
The regular season title.
But the question
here's
my bigger question.
I assume I'm going to win in the playoffs because I've won all year. Why wouldn't I assume I'm going to win
the
playoffs
as well?
That's
a big assumption to make. But remember, at the end of the day, the team that wins the Super Bowl gets remembered or the team that has the best record in the regular season? I pose that question for you. Ponder on that over the next couple of days, and maybe you could give me an answer on Monday.
Classically, the fantasy football season ends, in fact, this week, typically, but we're going the full 17. A separate thing based on the NFL postseason is, in my opinion, a separate contest. I'm more than happy to participate in this contest, but this regular season thing is really what matters.
But do you want to be the guy? Once again, you see, you're not giving me a specific answer here. Do you want to be the guy
in
the offseason?
I win both.
That refers to yourself as the regular season champ, or do you want to refer to yourself as the guy that put together the best run in the regular season and then also answered the call in the postseason?
Look, if you want me to win both, I'll win both. If you want me to, that's fine.
Easier
I'll
said
do
than
it.
Done, my
but
friend.
The bigger point is that the competition from the start of the year was never designed to have a playoff system in place. We wanted
so
to
that was a curveball thrown your
yes,
way then.
Yes, exactly.
So you were caught off guard.
And I agreed to it. I said, let's have some fun. We'll
include
the NFL postseason. That's fine. I'm confident enough to do this. That's okay.
I sense some skepticism.
I'm not skeptical. There is no skepticism. The point is that I dominated from weeks 1 to 17, and we're going to move on. It's good. And we're going to have some fun in the postseason, too. That's okay. We can do that.
Now, does 1 and 2 get a bye?
Yes.
Or, too bad.
I thought 1 and 2 gets a bye, and then 3 plays 6 and 4 plays 5. If you have six teams in the playoffs, no, if you have six teams in the playoffs, you have to give a bye. Otherwise, the matchups don't work. See, this guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, you just want to avoid me potentially if I get that six seed. You don't want any part of me in that round one.
I'd welcome Lance Meadow and your roster selection this year. Anyway, final thoughts here. Giants and Ravens, Sunday afternoon. I will say this for my keys for the Giants to win. It's a lot of stuff we said already today. Get a lead, stop the run, get some turnovers. That's how the Giants beat the Baltimore Ravens. That's how they've won games all year. When they don't stop the run, they can't rush the passer. Their defense gets torn up. They lose time of possession. The offense has to pass too much. Eli Manning gets interceptions. And it's a slippery slide down the mountain to oblivion. And last week was oblivion. And the Giants have to, first and foremost, start fast, stop the run, and all the other good things will happen after that.
And I thought you hit it right on the nose, John, in terms of time of possession. When they don't stop the run, clearly their defense is on the field way too long, and their offense has to be in a position to play catch-up, and that's when they're prone to mistakes. So that's why it's so imperative to limit the damage that Ray Rice does. And it's not just on the ground. He is heavily involved in screen plays. They'll throw it to him in the flat. Remember that Chargers game, John?
Yep.
Let's not forget, 4th and 29. Short pass to Ray Rice.
Which I still think
he gets
short
the first
on,
down.
By the way, but
well, listen, the refs ruled the way they did, and they wound up winning that game. That's all that matters when it comes to the standings. So they stop Ray Rice. They can at least contain him. I think that the Giants will be in a position to at least have the time of possession, even. But throwing out all the X's and O's, I would just like to see the Giants be a physical team for four quarters.
I like that.
Okay, win the battle at the line, and also linebacking core. Make tackles. Fill those holes. Bring guys down. Don't let the little things add up at the end of the day that are going to wind up coming back to haunt them, because sometimes it's been those little things. It's been a lot of little things. They're scratching their head at the end of the game saying, well, if we had this tackle, if we wrapped this guy up, if we deflected this pass, that could be the difference between a loss and a W. So that could very well be the difference maker come Sunday.
I will close the show. Well, first, I will tease your pregame show on Sunday at 4 o'clock. Make sure you tune in. Lance will take your calls after the game as well. It'll either be a celebratory postgame or Lance takes on the role of psychotherapist for Giant fans. After, hopefully it's the for Lance's sake at least, hopefully it's the former, so we can have a pleasant time on that postgame show. It can get a little rough sometimes after these bad Giant losses late in the year. So check that out, of course, when me and Lance will be back to break down the game in its entirety on Monday morning. Lance will be joining us on location. He has another assignment he's taking care of at the time. I will be here as always. And then at Christmas, we're going to be off. And then we'll be back with you on Wednesday moving forward. And now I will close the show by quoting one of the great intellectuals of our time, Pat Hanlon. There's nothing left to say. The time for talking is over.
And I just want to throw out one quote. I know, I couldn't give you, I
that
couldn't give you that
line.
Ending. All right, I'll let you do it.
No, it's wrap over up the now. Show. Say it now.
Well, I was going to throw out the quote from Mike from New Jersey, which I think even top what Pat Hanlon said.
Say it.
Bird doo-doo can sometimes bring you some luck.
We're done. See ya.